What's going on, everybody? This is the Dirt Bike Channel podcast, and I just want to point out the fact that I am recording a podcast, second podcast, and it's only been a week. So I feel pretty excited about that because I've not been the most consistent podcaster in the last year or so. But I'm turning over a new leaf because last week we had the episode 109, Will the Stark Varg Ruin Everything? And I was talking about my purchase story. And today, it's 1 week later, not 4 months, mind you, not a month or whatever it is. It's 1 week later, and I'm recording another podcast. So this time, I want to talk about some Yamaha stuff, okay? As some of you may know, a few weeks ago, I was invited to go out to the Yamaha off-road press event. They did like kind of a press day with focusing on their YZ450FX, but they also let us ride the two-strokes. So they flew us out to South Carolina. We went near Greenville, South Carolina, went to Randy Hawkins' place and was able to check out his, he's got a huge area. He's got like, I don't know, 1,100 acres or something like that. And I have some thoughts about some of the things that I learned and some of the feelings that I have after going to that event. So I thought I'd share some of those with you. First thing I wanted to just mention is, you know, thanks to Yamaha for inviting me out to that. It was really cool. It's kind of surreal because I'm just like this regular guy, as you guys know. I didn't grow up really riding dirt bikes. I certainly didn't grow up racing dirt bikes. And essentially all these other media outlets, these are other people who maybe work for a magazine or these other magazine outlets, Dirt Bike Magazine, Motocross Action, these different places that they have lived motorcycles their entire lives and they've done it and they've been paid to do it. They've been competitive in racing or whatever it is, or bike testing, and there's some amazing riders. And when I've gone to these events, I've now done three of them in the last year. I did one for KTM, like a media day. I did one for GasGas. And then now I've done this one here for Yamaha. And it's kind of humbling because I'm almost always like the worst rider. Like it depends on the crew of who they've invited out, but oftentimes I'm among the worst, or if not, like literally the least accomplished worst rider there. But I'm just like a regular guy, and it's fun. It's humbling in one sense, and it's fun in the other sense to kind of be included in that group. But it's something that you know, we've built here in the Dirt Bike Channel community is just real world reviews and talking about these bikes in a way that is maybe a little bit more relatable to, you know, the demographic of most of the people that are going to buy these suckers, you know, especially the people with expendable income, which are people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. And I maybe can speak to that audience a little bit better than some of the, I mean, to take nothing away from any of these other test riders and reviewers and things, but oftentimes they're a little bit harder to relate to because they're just amazing riders. So much beyond the ability of the average man, and that's what I am. I'm the average man. So thanks so much for inviting me out to the, you know, if this ever gets back to Yamaha, I've put out a few videos, and I actually still have another several, at least one to two, three more video. I don't know, at least one or two more videos that I'll put out about that event, because I still think I need to put out the content on the, like my just overall take on the YZ250. I put out a video on the, it was about the 2024 YZ2 450FX because it was all new for 2024. They did a lot of changes to the YZ450F, the motocross bike, in 2023, and then those changes trickled down to the 450FX here in 2024. And interestingly enough, then it'll trickle down to the and then the YZ250 got all new this year, the 250F. Which means then the 250FX will get all those changes next year. So they're kind of like on a rolling rollout cycle where that way one or two of their bikes every year is going to get like some, or every other year or whatever, is going to get some major updates. And the 450 gets kind of like a revamping, and then the next year the 250 gets a revamping. And that's speaking about the motocross style, the motocross stuff. And then it's funny because on the year, so it's just like the 450 off-road bike gets revamping, and then the next year that trickles down to the 450 off-road bike. But the 250 gets, so I guess kind of what it is they focus on the 450 changes 1 year, and then they focus on the 250 changes the next year. And then the off-road world kind of gets those things the year after the motocross bike gets it. I don't know if I explained that very well, but It's an interesting thing that they do. And each one of these manufacturers has a little bit different way of kind of like doing this stuff. But I wanted to say along those lines, one of the things that so thanks for inviting me out. And they were super generous because they're like, hey, do you want to bring a camera person? We've kind of allotted two spots for you and a camera guy if you want. And so I said, can I bring my 15-year-old son? He can be my camera guy and we can swap back and forth and do some riding. And that worked out really, really well because Connor's 15 and he was excited to do it. He was excited to take like most of a week off school. He had to take 4 days off of school with the travel. But he was able to do that because he's a really good student and he's a good rider, especially for moto. He's a better moto rider than I am at this point for sure. And so it was fun because some of the stuff we did was moto and some of it we did was woods on this, really cool property out there in South Carolina. So thanks for inviting us out. But one of the things I did learn, definitely just, it's nice to learn these things firsthand. Yamaha, there are people that, you know, work at these companies that really do care about motorcycles. These are motorcycle people. And they've stayed in that industry, or they've tried a lot of the, and I don't know about all of them, but like they have people, at least at these events that I go to, Yamaha, KTM, GasGas, they have people working at these companies that actually do care about motorcycles and they care about dirt bikes. And a lot of them care about off-road because off-road is kind of like, you know, these FX models, I think are really cool because it's almost like, in a way, the YZ450 FX is a more versatile bike in a lot of ways than the YZ450F because it's got a little bit softer valving. It's got, you know, a little bit wider gearbox and things. And so I think, and for a guy like me, there's no reason why I can't take the FXs to a track. I'm not fast enough or good enough where, you know, the suspension isn't more than capable for a guy like me at a motocross track or whatever, but it's also a bike I can use out in the desert. And it's a bike that could be used, you know, in the woods more readily than just the motocross version. And I think a lot of the people at these companies, especially Yamaha, knows that. And for a long time, they kind of were just letting KTM murder them in this off-road market. And then the Japanese companies, including Yamaha, got on board. And I have to say that Yamaha is doing more for the off-road world than Honda is, and they're doing more than Kawasaki is, and they're doing more than Suzuki is. And so of these four big Japanese counterparts, Yamaha is the one that I feel like is doing more for us, for like the market that I care about and my demographic. Yamaha is doing more for that. And I think it's really cool because Yamaha still has the two strokes, which we'll get to. We can talk about how, you know, I want them to, you know, change some things or whatever, but the point is I don't even get to say that to Honda because Honda doesn't even have their freaking CR250. You think about how many CR250Rs they would sell. You know, there are still people that love Honda and Honda makes a great motorcycle, and same thing with Kawi, the KX250, you know, and even the RM250, like if Suzuki did it. But they haven't. Those other companies have let those things go by the wayside. There is no, you know, but at least we still have a YZ250 and a YZ250X. So there is something to be said for that. So I do love that Yamaha has some people at these companies that care about motorcycles, care about dirt bikes, care about off-road. And that's a great thing. The other thing I learned is, you know, we had some celebs there. There was Ryan Villopoto. Got to meet him and chat with him a little bit with me and my son. And he's just a cool guy, you know. It's cool because Ryan raced his competitive career essentially with Kawasaki the entire time. And I was listening to a podcast. He was on Gypsy Tales a little bit ago. And it's just interesting to hear him talk about how, you know, he didn't necessarily love those Kawi bikes. But he really does love the Yamahas, you know. And now he's a brand ambassador for Yamaha. And it's great. And he's a cool guy. And they also had, I think it was Damon Bradshaw there. He's a little bit before my, I wasn't paying attention to dirt bikes and off-road motocross, but Damon Bradshaw was a fantastic rider back in the day, I think in the 90s and or maybe the early 2000s, somewhere in there. But we got to hang out with him a little bit, Damon Bradshaw and Ryan Villopoto, and then just a bunch of the media guys. And it's really cool. Even like Jason Wygant was there at this off-road event. And, you know, I didn't really know if Jason rode, but he does. He's a good rider. You know, he's one of us, and that's really cool. So he does the announcing for motocross and even some of these supercross races, it was cool for my son because we were sitting there, you know, in a shuttle with Jason Wygant and just sitting there and shooting the breeze with him. And he would go out and do these rides, and it was fun for Connor, my son, to kind of see that, like, these people are real people that have, you know, real lives, and they do actually care about motorcycles, which I think is awesome. So, and it was great to see this Randy Hawkins place. It's like an 1,100 acre place. We had lunch out on this lake house, you know, kind of a barn slash lake house thing, out by this little lake reservoir that they've built on the property. It was just super beautiful. I loved it. It was so much fun. So thank you so much for inviting us out to do that, Yamaha. And, if you guys, just wanted to say thank you. By the way, this podcast is, eventually I'm going to start looking for some sponsors. If you're interested in sponsoring a podcast, reach out to me. It's Kyle@dirtbikechannel.com. You can get me, or you can find a contact form on my website, dirtbikechannel.com. One of the best ways to support this podcast is to use my links to Rocky Mountain ATV while I'm at it, because I'm essentially sponsoring this podcast. But if you want to support what we're doing here, go to my website, dirtbikechannel.com. And then there's a sweepstakes going on where I'm giving away two different motorcycles. I'm giving away a KTM 250 XC and a Beta 250 RR. Both of them are 2024 versions. And you can just buy anything on my website, and it's automatic entry into that sweepstakes. It ends March 30th or 31st, sorry, at the end of the month of March. But you can also shop. There's a link there that says shop Rocky Mountain ATV MC, and that's on my website, dirtbikechannel.com. When you click on that link, it just takes you over to Rocky Mountain ATV, and then you just buy anything you want from them. You log into your account as normal, as you normally would, and that sale gets credited to me. They pay me a kickback. You know, it's a few cents on the dollar, maybe 5-6 cents on the dollar that you spend. And it's a fantastic way to support DBC, because that money comes straight back, and we put that into bike reviews and all those things. And you're going to spend the money anyway. And Rocky Mountain ATV is a fantastic company, and they have a great price and great selection and great service. You know, if you buy, say, boots from them and you've got the wrong size, you send them back. They do a free return on that first exchange. And I've had to do that before, and it's just nice peace of mind knowing if you're going to spend $500-$600 on a helmet or boots or whatever, and you need to get a size up or a size down, you can do that with them very, very easily. And I believe that they're the best in the business and that they can't be beat. And if you can't beat them, join them. Like, there's so many times I've thought, like, oh, I should sell this product or that product. And I've had some different knickknacks on my website, some kind of one-offs and things. But I can't really beat Rocky Mountain ATV, and I don't even want to try to compete with them. I'd just rather be a partner with them, and that's what I do. So, I love their affiliate program and that. And if you are entering, if you click on that link here in the month of March and order something, order product from them, it's giving you automatic entries into my sweepstakes. I have given dirt bikes to people because they clicked on that freaking link and they ordered something from Rocky Mountain ATV. So it works. It's great. So anyway, that's the last I will say. Go to dirtbikechannel.com, buy something, get entered to win a dirt bike. Also use the links to Rocky Mountain ATV and get automatic entries into the sweepstakes as well. So there you go. Let's talk about the YZ450 FX. So that was kind of like the big thing that they wanted to talk about, during this event. So they spent some time going through some slides with us on the first day, and we did some photo shoots with the bikes. And it was just a great thing. I think they scheduled it right where we had day one was a media day. I mean, it was all a media day. Day one was like a presentation day and time for, like, you know, static shots of the bikes and things like that when the bikes are clean. And then they took us to dinner. Well, they took us to dinner every night, which was great. They fed us, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, which was awesome. Paid for the flights, paid for the hotels. The only thing, yeah. So it was super great. But that first day, it was just information and talking about what changes had been made, and essentially about, you know, as far as the parts that they would, the parts that they make and they're responsible for, they said it was more than 90% of the parts were changed on that bike. So if we're just looking at the 2023 FX 450 FX versus the 24 450 FX, most of the things changed, like they changed in some way. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean, you know, your brake lever, your clutch lever, your, you know, brake calipers, these types of things. But as far as like the plastics and the frame and the motor and all of these components inside of the motor and yeah, suspension, you know, settings changed, all those things changed, triple clamps, I think, you know, just so many of the different parts on that bike changed from 1 year to the next. And what it results in is essentially the slimmest of the Yamaha 450s. And I've had more Yamaha 450s than anything else. As a lot of you guys know, this whole genesis on into dirt bikes for me as an adult started with a 2009 YZ450F. It was a motocross bike. It was a super big mistake. It was totally the wrong bike. And I spent years and years and years on YouTube trying to get people to not buy 450s as beginner bikes. And I still say you should not do that. So even though that this Yamaha is amazing, I still will stand by it's not a beginner motorcycle. Like no one should buy a 450, no matter what color it is, no matter who makes it. Nobody should buy a 450 as their first dirt bike. They should start out with something else. Especially if you don't have any experience in motorcycles at all, but no matter what, just don't get a 450 as your first dirt bike. Get something else, especially if you're a kid. But it is now the slimmest of all the 450s. I've had several different Yamaha 450s, the motocross versions and the X versions. And this is definitely the slimmest and the lightest feeling and the most agile of any of those 450s. Okay. And it would be my choice. If I was to buy a 450 today, I would buy the YZ450FX. That's the one I would buy. I wouldn't get the motocross version. I'd get the FX version because it's got the 18-inch rear, so it's better for me if I do want to take it off-road, like out to the desert, because it's not going to get flats as much. It's going to get a little bit better traction. That extra rubber on the 18-inch wheel is definitely there for you to be more forgiving and be less susceptible to pinch flats or something like that, you know, things like that, and to get better traction, just more traction over a wider variety of terrain. See, in motocross, the terrain, I know that the dirt is all different depending on where you go, but the variety, the diversity of terrain is not as notable. It isn't as wide of a variety in motocross as it is in off-road. And so since this bike is an off-road bike where it could be going in the desert or it could be going in the woods, it could be like, you know, lots of slick mud. It could be roots and rocks and things like that. It could be ledges. You're better off with an 18-inch rear wheel. And that's what the FX line affords. Also, it's got the kickstand, which I love having a kickstand. Because I'm not always at the track. Most of the time, I'm not at the track. And then you've got a little bit softer valving on these bikes, and it's a wider ratio transmission. It's still a 5-speed. I believe that the 450FX is still a 5-speed, but it's got wide ratio. You know that especially the fifth gear is a wider ratio. I can't remember. It may have 6. I think the 250 version does have 6 speeds. I'm pretty sure. It's hard for me to remember so many numbers in my head, but it would be the one that I would buy. And part of the reason is because I want to support Yamaha for keeping the 2-strokes. I know that sounds super weird of me to say that I would buy the Yamaha 4-stroke. And part of the reason is because they have 2-strokes, but I'm just going to use it. It's one of the reasons why I want to support Yamaha. Cause I think they are doing something I know they're doing something that the other Japanese manufacturers are not. The other reason why I would get the 450FX is because it is, at least from what I've seen, the most tunable 450 that there is. I had the 2023 YZ450FX, and you're able to go in through the Power Tuner app through your phone and change that thing into very, very mellow. Very mellow. And they've made some changes to that. I didn't use the updated Power Tuner app, or I didn't even connect. Sorry. Making noises here. I'm not supposed to. I'm just trying to lean back in my chair here at my office and keep the mic close to me. But I didn't do any tuning on the bike as far as like with the app when we were out there riding it that day. But you can tune them so much. And it's not just like with Kawasaki. It's like, oh, put this little white dongle in or the black dongle or the green plug-in connector or whatever. They call them connectors, dongles, whatever it is. And you couldn't really tell what was happening. with the Yamaha Power Tuner app, you are able to see what is happening. Hold on, my computer just, I'm looking at some notes on my computer. And of course, because I hadn't touched it, my computer, my screen's locked. Anyway, so they are very tunable. And I had the Honda version in 22-ish. Was it 22? I had the Honda versions of the 250 and the 450. Those are great bikes too, but you couldn't really do much on tuning other than just like, oh, the hot map and the soft map. And with the Yamaha, you have the map switch up on your left thumb where you can change from map one to map two, but you're also able to program what map two and what map one and map two is. And you can send those, you can always have two maps active in the bike, but you can have all these different maps in your phone ready to just, boom, connect to the little Wi-Fi that the bike produces and then send that right down to the bike. And it was a stable app. I've done this with other like ECUs in the past, like Get has, you know, one that you could do with the KTMs. And I think that KTM has got more of this coming and they may have it already right now in their 24 bikes. They're 24 motocross bikes, and they're 450s and 250s. But Yamaha has it now, and they've had it for many, many, many years, and the app is stable, and it just seems to work. It doesn't crash, at least. It's been very reliable for me, and so I think that's super great. It's tunable. The bike is light. It has, you know... I also think it's interesting. I think the center of mass in the 250 and the 450 is just closer. Like, the center of mass is closer to the center of the bike because of the way that they're designed, with the intake being in the front and the you know, kind of the motor tilting backwards. The only problem is then the exhaust has to wrap all the way around from the back of the cylinder, wraps around the motor and then goes out. So there's some extra weight there, but it allows them to do some things that some of the other bikes can't do, which is to slide the tank back. The fuel tank is more underneath you than it is on these other bikes. So I think they're taking weight and they're moving it to the center of the bike and to lower in the bike than most of these other models, because they have light things up high, which is your air intake and your air filter. Those things are up high on the bike, up where your gas would normally be. Your gas is closer to you and more underneath you and more in the center of the bike, and the mass of the motor is more canted towards the center of the bike, and I think that's a good thing. I think that adds stability, at least obviously in conjunction with all these other things. And I'm not saying these other bikes aren't stable. I'm just saying there's some cool things about the Yamahas. Then you're, you know, they are loud though. They're loud because that air intake is up closer to you, but you know, whatever. I think that's good. And it would be the bike that I would buy. Honestly, the one I'm really excited for is the next year, the 2025 250 FX. Because the 250, like the 450 is too much bike for me. We're out there on this motocross track. It's too much bike for me. I rode it in the quote softer map the entire day. And then even we tried to go out into the woods, and it's just too much bike for me out in the woods. You know, this is in South Carolina, there's woods, it was muddy, it was slick. It's just too much bike for me in those conditions for sure. I would have been better off on a 250 on the motocross bike or motocross track, and so would my son Connor. He would have been better off on a 250 four stroke for sure. But it was fun to do. And if I had this bike out in Utah, then it would be a really fun go fast desert bike. And that's where I would primarily use it, is have a bike that is just going to be out to rip around on maybe some sand. If I ever went to the sand dunes, it would be the bike I would want to have. If I'm just going to go out and do high speeds in the desert, that would be the bike that I want to have. Realistically, I want the 250 version of it, because then I'm able to take it in the woods a little bit more, and I just have so much freaking fun on the 250 FX. They're just, the motor just makes me smile and giggle. Whereas the motor on the 450 FX is just kind of scary, and it's just, yeah, there's a lot of things you can do with it, but I'm more of a 250 four-stroke guy than a 450 four-stroke guy. And you guys know that, and I've made no bones about it. But the 450 FX is a pretty cool bike. Let's talk about the two strokes here. Let's change gears for a second. So YZ250X. I know they've made some changes to these X lines. They did a few like little motor changes and things. And I say little motor changes because I don't think that they were big motor changes. They did a couple things to the bikes in the last, but it's mostly, for all intents and purposes, it's mostly a 2006 YZ250 with a couple changes, a little bit lower compression. Oh, wide ratio five speed gearbox. Speaking about the 250 here, not a lot of changes. It is the off-road rear wheel, the 18-inch rear wheel. It does have a kickstand. It does have upgraded, you know, suspension settings, which is just a little bit softer suspension settings. But it's, for most, all intents and purposes, it's a 2006 YZ250. And I pushed a couple of the guys. I asked a couple of the Yamaha guys, like, why don't they do some things to that bike? And specifically, what I want to see is I want to see them put that 250 two-stroke motor in their updated four-stroke frames. I want to see that. I also want them to add electric start to it and then also put a six-speed gearbox on it, which they already have with the WRs. Now, I understand this would take some money, but and they it doesn't sound like they have plans to do this. And they got kind of, there was a little bit of defensiveness sometimes when I asked about this, but I feel because they're like, hey, you can't just slap a 250. You can't just slap a two stroke into a four stroke, you know, frame. There's got a million things you got to check and everything has to work. It's not just motor mounts. That's what they said. Cause I'm like, well, why don't just, you know, update some motor mounts to put that 250 motor in the 450 frame. And they're like, it's not that simple. And you got to understand this and understand that. I get it. I hear you, but here's my counter to that argument. Basically, the YZ250 and now the YZ250X for the last many, many years is a cash cow for Yamaha. They haven't had to put basically zero money, zero R&D into that bike since 06 and probably earlier than that because they would have been making some of these changes in 04. So literally for the last, let's just call it what it is, for the last 20 years, all they've been doing with this bike is milking the cow. Now, I did already say, thank you for still having the cow, and let's continue to milk it. But then on the other side, you've been milking the same cow for 20 years, and it's been a really, really great thing as far as from a money perspective for this line. And it's not costing you anything, and it's just cash in the bank, cash money. And having this two-stroke side even makes people like me, Kyle Brotherson, Dirt Bike Channel guy, give you the benefit of the doubt and give you precedence and give you preferential treatment and wanting your bikes more than Honda and Kawasaki and Suzuki because you have this bike, because you have these two strokes. So why not put some money into this, give it electric start. I understand it's total redesign of the motor. I understand. I'm not even saying going to fuel injection. You can keep the carburetor. Totally keep the carburetor. Because you want to serve the market where they're like, hey, let's keep this simple. But ain't nobody complaining about electric start. Like, yeah, it'll add some pounds to the bike. But like the bike is light and it's great anyway. But let's add electric start to the bike. Let's put some R&D into this thing. Put electric start on the bike, put it into your motocross frame, and then maybe put the six-speed gearbox on it, which you've already got for the WR. And then this bike, then you don't have to touch it for the next 10 years or 15 years. Who the heck knows? But like it's been a cash cow for you for this long. So why not do that again? Put a little bit more money into it and then let it go and just let it be amazing and let it be this bike that you can just milk for the next 10 years or so after you've put some money into it, some R&D. There are so many people that would switch off KTM or GasGas or Husqvarna or Sherco and come back to the YZ250X if it had electric start. I mean, this is 2024. Most motorcycles now have electric start. I would say keep the kickstand, keep the backup Kickstarter on it just so that you are playing to all the crowds, keep it carbureted. At least for this round, keep it carbureted so you can say we still have a simple, economical, lightweight two-stroke. It just happens to have electric start like everybody else has had. I mean, you can't buy a two-stroke. It's the only two-stroke you can buy now that isn't electric start. I mean, obviously the YZ125 as well, but The KTMs, electric start. Sherco's, electric start. TM, electric start. Beta, electric start. All of them are electric start except for the Yamaha. So my thought is, I'm so glad that you have it. It's a really cool bike. It still has tons of power. It's still super fun to ride. And you've been milking the cow here for 20 years. Let's update the dang thing for real and bring it into this part of the century. And then you can just let it be for another 10 years. Also, if you don't update it, you're assigning it to death. I really do feel like this. If a company is not updating their product or just putting window dressing on it, it is a sign that they are not going to keep doing it. There's only so long that they'll keep producing this motorcycle unless they update it. And that, I believe that that clock is ticking. So that's the other reason I want them to update it, is to prove to me and to prove to the rest of the industry that you're not going to cancel it. Because right now, there's a ticking time clock on that bike. It's not going to exist forever, especially because you're not updating it. If you updated it, then I would have more confidence that it's going to exist in 10 years from now. I don't have a lot of confidence that they can keep rolling out the same freaking bike for 30 years. We know, because they've just shown us, that they're essentially willing to roll out the same motor in the same frame for 20 years. But are they willing to do it for 30 years? Are they willing to do it for 40 years? I don't think so. So I feel like if they did some major updates to the bike here in the next year or two, then that would give me confidence that it's going to be around for the next 10 or 20 years. But I don't have a lot of confidence that it's going to be around that long because they haven't updated it for 20 years. You see where I'm going with this? Tell me, like, guys, am I wrong with this? Send me an email, kyle@dirtbikechannel.com. Tell me if I'm wrong. And while you're over there, get entered to win the bikes that I've got given away here in the month of March. But tell me I'm wrong on that. I can say the exact same things about the YZ125. So my son was able to ride the YZ125 primarily. I did also ride it. He was very surprised with it because he's been riding a 23 KTM 125 XC. It's fuel injected. It runs really great. But then it's not like fuel injected bikes make more power than the carbureted bikes. It's just that they kind of self-tune if they're running right. And so if a carbureted bike is running great, it's not that it makes more power than the fuel, neither one makes, quote, more power. They both can make really, really good power and they can both run really well. The advantage of an EFI fuel injected bike, same thing with cars, is just that they can self-meter, self-adjust, and they should be running typically at a better tune than a carburetor is when conditions are changing, when temperatures are changing, when altitude is changing. Neither Connor or me had ever ran a 250 or a 125 at sea level. And so it was around 600 feet. So now he's like, dang, this bike has so much power. It's more powerful than my bike. I'm like, yeah, it definitely is, because you've been riding your bike at 5,000 feet to 8,000 feet. So you're going to lose 3% of horsepower for every foot of elevation that you go up. So now you're riding this bike at essentially 20% more horsepower, 15 to 20% more horsepower than you've ever been able to ride your motorcycle. So it ran great. I actually, the 250 was tuned a little bit better than the 125. I rode the 125 and I'm like, there was kind of a little bit of a dead spot in it that could have been tuned out, maybe with just a little bit of adjusting on the air screw. It ran pretty good, but it didn't run perfect, whereas his 250 or his 125 XC basically runs perfect all the time up here. But he was very shocked at how good that bike ran, and he really had a lot of fun on it. again, he was back to kickstarting, which he's been kickstarting bikes his entire life until the last year or so, when he's getting spoiled by riding the 125 XC, which is an electric start bike. But he didn't complain too much about that. And if you're not riding like off-road enduro stuff, it isn't a big deal when you're kickstarting your bike. But when you do get into nasty stuff and you're in off-camber situations and you're hanging off the side of a mountain or whatever, it's annoying to kickstart a bike. And so I wish they would, do electrics. But here's the thing. I want to say, and I'm going to be a little bit contradictory here. I do want them to upgrade the YZ125X or the YZ125 and the YZ125X, but I don't necessarily know that they need to update this one as much as the 250. I want them to update it and put it in the updated frame, but I'm not going to sit here and say that I definitely want you to put electric start on the bike on the 125 and the 125X, and here's why. I do want them to keep the carburetors, and I want them to keep as light. This 125, I think it needs to be as light as possible, as cheap as possible, because it is the entry. It is the quintessential entry-level racing bike for adults and for kids. And the reason why I say that is because it is like it has been the gold standard for so long. They've been making the bike for so long. There's a million of aftermarket parts for both the 250 and the 125 on the YZs. And if I'm sitting there begging them to update the 250 and put electric start on it and do these other things, then I'm going to soften it a little bit and say, well, one thing you could do is wait and don't do electric start on the 125. Keep that one as the lightest, cheapest bike possible. And I am going to say entry level. And the reason why I am, because they have painted themselves, in my opinion, into that corner. I do think that the YZ125 and 125X is more of an entry level bike than what the KTM is making. And the reason why is because you haven't updated the dang thing for so long. And it is cheaper and it is lighter because it has less components on that thing. And you have not had to, you haven't been putting money into the bike. And so, yes, it's gotten more expensive, but not at the same rate as these other bikes. So maybe you could keep the 125 as the cheapest, lightest entry-level bike. And when I say entry-level, it's still a racing bike. It's still a full-on competitive, unbelievable, like fun bike to ride. When we were there at this place, every time I saw Ryan Villopoto ride a bike, he was on the 125X. He didn't ride the 250. He didn't ride the 450. He might have done it, but I never saw, like when he went out to go onto the track or he went to go out and screw around with the trail ride and hang with the boys or whatever, he rode a 125 every time. So it's not like it's just a kid bike. It's not like it's just an entry-level bike, but it is still an entry-level bike in motocross because it's the cheapest, most solid platform that you can get. So that by default does make it an entry level bike into our sport. One of the problems we have is the barrier to entry in this sport is high because these bikes are not cheap. You know, I understand there's some mountain bikes and some e-bikes and stuff that are just as expensive or more expensive. Like you can buy a way more expensive mountain bike that doesn't even have a motor. Like you can buy these for $10,000 or $12,000, $15,000. The YZ125 is, I can't even remember, like it's around seven grand. I don't know. I don't have it up in front of me. But the point is, it is the cheapest thing that you can get for new. And there's a million of them out there. So there's a million used bikes of these 125s. And it's a great bike. And, you know, I want them to update these two strokes. You can use the same logic against me where I say, well, if they don't put electric start on the 125, then they're just assigning a death sentence. In some ways, yeah. But in my opinion, I think they should update the electric start first on the 250 and then let them chill for a little while. And then, yeah, eventually you probably are going to have to do it on the 125. But let's keep the carburetors on both of them. There's a whole contingent of people out there that love the two strokes because they're tunable and because they can work on them in their garages and because it doesn't have fuses and all. Well, I mean, there's probably some, you know, relays and things on the bikes, but they're simpler because they don't have sensors and they don't have computers and they don't, they're just simpler with the carburetor. So I'm saying keep the carburetors on the 250 and the 125. Let's maybe update the 250 before we update the 125, put electric start on it. But both of them, I would love to see them eventually put them into these updated motocross frames so that we can continue to have them for the long haul. Okay. Lastly, I just want to say, this is part of the reason why I like to buy my bikes. And when I'm doing a review bike, I like to buy it because I can say whatever I want. I just think it's more authentic. I've always felt like it was more authentic. When you go to an event like this and you're doing like your stand-up thing on the bike and you're kind of talking, okay, we rode it for today and here's what I think about it. When they have paid for your flight and they have paid for your meals and they've been shipping you around for days, you know, courting you around, in, you know, vans and whatever, and they've been feeding you and all of these things, and your hotel is covered and your meals are covered, and they've put you up in this, set you up at this property, and they've let you ride these brand new motorcycles. It's almost impossible to say anything negative about the bike. I mean, just think about that, guys. So when I'm out there and I'm doing the stand up with my son, and I'm like, hey, this is kind of what we feel, and that's what we felt with the bikes, and here's, like, I can't really say anything negative. I mean, there's some things I'm like, oh, you know, this was a thing that, like, you have to kind of, and I even went down a rabbit hole, like, last week, and I watched, like, what some of the other media outlets said. I watched Motocross Action. I watched, you know, Dirt Bike or Dirt Rider, and I watched, like, you know, a few different videos of these people that I was out there with. Nobody says anything negative. It's all like, oh, this is so great, blah, 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 blah. And everyone just kind of toeing the line. And yeah. And even mine, like, there was a different vibe of my videos than if I had bought the bike, lived it with it for a few months at my house and done some trail riding or whatever, and then shot this video either out in the woods near me or in my shop. I would be more critical. I would have said more critical things. And isn't that kind of what we want? Like, I would give props. Like, you guys have seen me do a lot of these bike reviews on YouTube or whatever, and even in podcast land. I will give credit, and I want to talk about some of the things that I think are great. But I will also talk about some things where I'm like, they whiffed this. And I know I've done it in this podcast on the 250 line. But did I say anything negative about the YZ450FX? No, I didn't. But if I had the freaking thing and I owned it for 2 or 3 or 6 months or 8 months or a year and rode it in all these different conditions, I would actually bash several things about it because I owned it. And so when you're looking for reviews and when you're listening to reviews, I just want you to, and I get it, you guys are smart, you already kind of know this, but you have to look at this and say, when you don't own the bike, when you don't own the product, you are definitely, there is an obligation to say nice things about it and to be cool because you want to get that invite again. You want to stay in the industry. And one of the best ways to stay in the industry is to be able to get free stuff, to get invite. And when I say free stuff, I'm not even just talking about the bikes. I got a free flight for me and my son. I got a free hotel room for me and my son. I had free dinners. That's nice. So if I sit there and I complain and I say, and I actually speak my mind on all the stuff, and if there are things that are bugging me about the bike, I might not say that because I want to get the free stuff. Look, I'm an honest person. And I just knew that about myself so much. And it's why I don't take free stuff most of the time. Now, in some of these cases, I'm like, I'm going to go. I did it with KTM. I did it with GasGas. I did it here with Yamaha. And I think a lot of that is just good for the industry. But it's the reason why I don't do free stuff all the time. I very rarely do free stuff is because I want to be able to say what I think. I did not take anything free on that Stark Varg, and I will be ripping the shiz out of certain parts of that motorcycle. Certain decisions that they've made, I have been, and I already will be, and I will continue to be critical because I think that's my job. So just keep that in mind. You know, these are amazing bikes, but there is, if you get something for free, if they're loaning you something or lending you something, you speak differently about it. That's just all there is to it. And then I've had awkward conversations with some of these marketing departments in the past. I won't say who, when they're like, oh, we wish you'd say this about our product. You know, that's not kind of what we thought. We don't really agree with that. I'm like, well, that was my opinion. What do you want me to do? I've got to be authentic. So anyway, thanks again to Yamaha. I authentically did really enjoy riding these bikes. I authentically do love what they're doing in the industry. And I've said enough, like, hey, I wish you would update these two strokes, but I'm still really, 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 really glad you have them. And please, please, please do not quit making them. And I will believe that you will not quit making them when you update them. Oh my gosh. Okay. If you want to support what we're doing, again, go to my website, dirtbikechannel.com. There's a few different ways you can get entered into the sweepstakes, which is going on right now here in the month of March. I'm giving away two motorcycles. There's a brand new KTM and a brand new Beta 2024 models, 252 strokes, both of them. Automatic entry with all purchases at dirtbikechannel.com. And if you use my links to Rocky Mountain ATV, which you will find in the description of any of my YouTube videos or in the description of this podcast or in the footer, like the signature of any of my emails, if I've ever hit you up, it's, you know, there's a link there to Rocky Mountain ATV and to my website. And if you click on either of those and you buy something, you are getting entries into the sweepstakes, and that will help me and help you because you'll get cool stuff. And we'll be able to keep the lights on over here. So thank you so much. If there's anything I can do for you, let me know. It's Kyle at dirtbikechannel.com. Send me an email and try to get back to you within a couple of days. And I guess that's it, man. Until next time, you know what the sign off is. Leave a single track. Thanks.